Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. A warm welcome to the show. Awfully glad you joined me today, Bill Arnold. We've got a great show coming up. Alan Schliemann is already on our studio line, so I might bring him in right away. And also, we're going to have Answered Prayer Friday. So if you have a prayer that's been answered lately and you really want to celebrate, we want to do that with you. And we also want to open up the phone lines if you are in a really need of prayer. We'd be happy to pray for you as well. So that's all coming up in the second part of the hour. But for now, we've got Alan Schliemann. He is an apologist. He hangs his hat at Stand to Reason. So if you know Greg Kokel, that's the same kind of brain power, because we've had Greg on the show before. So he is with us right now. I'm going to bring him on. Hello, Alan.
Hey, how are you, Bill?
I'm good, thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, now you hang out with Greg, so I'm going to be keeping an eye on you.
Yeah, well, that could be good or bad, I guess, right?
No, there must be some...
Greg is awesome.
Yeah, some interesting conversations around the office. I so appreciate your work and your passion and the way you really want to get people's questions answered. So I recently saw on your on the website a variety of topics that you have tackled, and you're not afraid of anything, are you?
Yeah, well, I do end up addressing a lot of topics that I think the culture finds very controversial, and even sometimes in Christian circles as well. But yeah, that's true. It's not that I pursue that for the sake of controversy, but the fact of the matter is we live in a culture that's fairly hostile towards the Christian worldview. So I think Christians have to be prepared to understand those topics and know how to persuasively but graciously respond.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you produce a DVD on A Closer Look at Islam? Was that
a
book?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that a DVD or a book, or what is that, Alan?
It is a DVD. Actually, we just produced it, and it just got released, I think, last month or so. And that's sort of my comprehensive training curriculum about how to understand Islam and then how to then graciously and persuasively engage Muslims with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay, please tease me.
Well, I mean, the thing is that one in five people on the planet is now a Muslim. So it's a lot of Muslims. And, you know, obviously from a Christian worldview perspective, we realize these people desperately need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I found that a lot of people have a lot of misunderstandings, confusion, fear about Muslims and Islam. And so what I wanted to do is sort of help clarify, well, what does Islam teach? You know, how does it compare and contrast with Christianity? And by doing that, we can then we can draw upon that knowledge to more carefully craft the message of the gospel to Muslims. And I think the reason why we need to do that is because the Bible identifies us in 2 Corinthians 5:20 as ambassadors for Christ. And so as an ambassador, we want to we represent Christ, first of all, but I would say that one of the two main functions of an ambassador is to learn and engage. So we want to learn about Islam and they want to engage Muslims. And so this DVD will help you understand Islam. So you'll help you to learn about it, but then learn how to engage Muslims as well, because you need to have both components to be an effective ambassador.
Mm-hmm. Alan, I got a whole bunch of questions. So let me take a short break. And then when we come back, Alan Schliemann's my guest from Stand to Reason. We've got a whole bunch of topics we're going to cover with Alan. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wished you could listen to your favorite radio program when you wanted to? That way you'd never miss a program you really wanted to hear, simply because your program came on when you had an appointment, you were at work, or something urgent came up. And for those really busy days, you could listen early in the morning or late at night when things were calmer, and you could take the time to reflect and meditate on what you heard. Well, you can listen to your favorite programs whenever you want. Download the Faith Radio app by searching Faith Radio in the Apple Store or Google Play Store to gain instant access to Faith Radio programs and previous shows. It really is that simple. Search and subscribe to your favorite program and listen anytime. Download the Faith Radio app today and don't miss a thing. Once again, go to iTunes or Google Play on your mobile device and search for Faith Radio to download the free Faith Radio app and start listening today.
Nine minutes after the hour, Bill Arnold here talking to Alan Schliemann. He's from Stand to Reason. He's an author and a speaker and trains Christians to share their convictions in a very persuasive yet gracious manner. And Alan, I want to continue this discussion on looking at Islam and trying to dissect a little bit of it. Maybe you can give us a crash course on what is the true nature of Muslims' beliefs and practices, and then how do we find a common ground where we can start having these conversations with them and look like a friendly person?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and I think that's the right attitude, because any ambassador wants to be mindful about how they engage people who might disagree with them. So we want to be thinking, well, what can we do to engage these people who have a completely different religious conviction that is really, it's sort of an anti-Christian religion, because there's definitely a lot of teachings in Islam that say, no, Christianity and the Trinitarian doctrine is false. And so, yeah, we want to be very careful about doing that. Well, the good news is that there are a number of similarities or common ground, I think, that you can use to help you engage the Muslim. For example, of course, they're monotheists, right? So they believe in only one God. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge plus. They also are required to believe in Jesus. Now, of course, they don't believe in the same Jesus that we believe in, or the biblical Jesus. On their view, Jesus is not the Son of God. He's not part of the Trinity. He's merely a human being who's been commissioned to be a prophet, just like they believe Muhammad was merely a human being who's commissioned to be a prophet. And so although their view of Christ is lower, they have a lower Christology than we do as Christians, nevertheless, they're still required to believe in him, and the Quran, their highest authority, actually speaks incredibly highly of Jesus. For example, it says that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. It says that Jesus was sinless and lived a perfect life. The Quran teaches specifically that Jesus was able to perform miracles like heal the sick and raise the dead. And Jesus is even the appointed one to return at the end of time to kill the Antichrist, to break all the crosses, and to kill the pigs. So he's even this guy who's returning in the future, whereas Muhammad in the Quran is not considered to be sinless, is not able to perform all these miracles, and he's not coming back ever in the future, according to the Quran. In fact, the Quran admits he's been dead and buried in Saudi Arabia for the last 1,400 years, you know? So this is significant. This tells us we have tremendous freedom to talk about Jesus, who, of course, is the central component of our faith, with our Muslim friends and neighbors, because, well, Jesus is talked more about in the Quran than even Muhammad, and there's a fairly high view of him, even though it's not, of course, the biblical view. So that's, I think that's a key element there for common ground. And then I can, you know, if you want, I can tell you about what kind of questions I use to get in a conversation about that as well.
Well, I do want you to bring up those questions. I want to hear those questions, but what you just described makes Jesus sound really appealing in the Muslim faith.
Right. Yeah. I mean, according to Islam, Jesus is still alive. So they don't believe he ever died. They believe that he was never crucified, but Allah took him up into heaven, and he's kind of there, and he'll eventually come back to kind of usher in the end of time. So Muhammad is dead. Jesus is alive, according to the Quran, which, yeah, as you said, is significant for what Muslims are required to believe about him.
All right.
And so I think we can leverage that teaching that is, you know, clearly taught in the most highest authority in Islam, and use that to our advantage to be able to engage Muslims about our faith.
All right, Alan, this is so interesting. Now, maybe you would start talking about the questions you use.
Well, yeah. So my goal with a Muslim, and I tell Christians this all the time, I say, look, focus on the gospel and try to avoid topics that distract from the gospel. So, for example, I know a lot of Christians are often tempted to talk to their Muslim friend or neighbor about, say, jihad, you know, like, oh, well, what about violent jihad? And now I talk about jihad when I'm teaching Christians about what does Islam teach And so I do lay out the details of that, but I don't encourage them to bring that up as a subject when they're trying to share their faith with a Muslim, because typically what happens is the Muslim gets very defensive. They get nervous that you as a Christian are just simply stereotyping them as some sort of violent person, right? And so if you then try to shift into the gospel, they're already going to be in a very defensive posture. So I find that bringing up jihad or Muhammad's treatment of women or the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, these things distract from the gospel. And so I'm trying to encourage Christians, look, focus on what matters, the gospel, because if they eventually accept Christ, well, then their views on Muhammad and jihad and all these other things will eventually, you know, dissipate as well. So focus on the gospel. And so here's one of the questions that I like to ask to kind of get myself into a conversation talking about Jesus and then the gospel. And so I ask them this. I say, look, are you 100% certain you're going to heaven? Now, by the way, just remember that Muslims are very comfortable talking about religion. It's unlike the average American who freaks out talking about religion and politics. Muslims are actually quite comfortable talking about religion and politics. So even bringing up the question about their faith and about heaven is not a big deal in the average Muslim's mind. So again, so I asked him, hey, are you 100% certain you're going to heaven? Now, in Islam, they have a works-based system of salvation. It's based on merit, on what you do, okay? So typically, the Muslim is going to answer, no, I'm not 100% certain. And there's no way they could be 100% certain, because at the end of time, when there's a resurrection, Allah will judge each person's good and bad deeds and weigh them on a scale, and that's what will determine whether you go to heaven or hell. So the Muslim's not going to know what that outcome is going to be. So most Muslims will tell me, no, I'm not 100% certain. And then I tell the Christian, I go, well, what can we offer them with regards to their uncertainty about heaven? And the answer is, well, we can offer them certainty of their salvation, not in virtue of what we have done, but rather in virtue of what Christ has done. And that is, he's got the potential to forgive all of their sins and pardon them for all the crimes they've committed against God, and then be freed from their guilty punishment, if you will. So when the Muslim says, no, I'm not 100% certain, I just say, well, okay, would you like to know how you could be 100% certain? And they often will say, sure, well, what are you suggesting? And then you can tell them about Jesus and what Jesus said from the Gospels about the nature of salvation, the nature of the kingdom of God.
Alan, that is...
So notice that leverages common ground and gets you into a conversation about Jesus very quickly.
Yeah, Alan, that is exceptional midday clear afternoon thinking. I have to say, I'm going to take a little break when we come back. More with Alan Schliemann from Stand to Reason. Fascinating conversation. We'll be right back. It's 18 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold having a lovely conversation with Alan Schliemann from Stand to Reason. He's an author and speaker, and he helps Christians share their convictions in a very persuasive and yet very gracious manner. Alan, if you don't mind, I'd like to change subjects just a little bit. And the question I have is, how do we return to the gospel with someone who's already kind of looked at us and said, no?
Well, I guess it would depend upon really what follows after that. So if I've shared the gospel with someone and they say no, you know, my next question is going to be, well, it's going to be a question. And that is, well, you know, what's holding you back? You know, one of the things that we teach at Stand to Reason, and if you've talked to Greg before, you'll probably know about this. We call it the Columbo tactic.
Oh, yeah.
And it's based on the old TV show with Lieutenant Columbo, which featured a lieutenant who often used questions to engage people in a very disarming and gracious way. And so we call what many people call the Socratic method, we call it the Columbo tactic, which is just simply the art of asking questions instead of making a lot of statements in order to be able to move forward graciously in a conversation. And so if someone rejects the gospel, my next question is going to want to be to explore that a little more and say, well, you know, what's going on here? You know, tell me, you know, what it is. What's your objection about? Like, why would you not accept it? So it's kind of hard to give an answer to you're kind of hypothetical unless we have more details about it. But generally, I'm going to ask them, you know, what's going on, you know, about it. What's your concern? And then after they respond with that, then I can know, you know, where to go, where to proceed after that.
Yeah, I was thinking of like you sharing Christ with Uncle Bud, you know, at the family picnic. And now a year later, you're going to see Uncle Bud again. And he said, no, he wasn't interested in your gospel and your Jesus. But you want to continue because you have a heart for him and you want to see if you can't start it up again with him.
Sure. Well, that's why I say if you can graciously ask a question to try to explore, like, why did he say no, then he might point to something. Now, typically, I find people offer two kinds of general categories as to why people reject the gospel. There's usually either causes or reasons. So reasons are what I would put into the category of, like, intellectual obstacles or reasons. Like, well, you know, I just can't believe in a God who would, you know, send someone to hell, or I just can't believe in a God who does this, or, you know, the problem of evil is so problematic, I can't believe that God would allow this. Or so they might have reasons, and so then you can address those reasons. But not every objection to the gospel is about an intellectual obstacle. Sometimes there's what I call causes. In other words, sometimes there are things that have happened in a person's life that causes them to reject the gospel. I remember talking to one guy, and he rejected the gospel. And I said, oh, well, you know, what's going on here? And I started to probe and ask questions. And pretty soon I discovered that he'd grown up as a pastor's kid, but his father had cheated on his mother, had an affair. And then that, you know, of course, their marriage ended in divorce. The church, you know, fell apart. And so this boy was really traumatized by that whole experience, thinking, you know, wow, my father's a pastor and this is what happened. So he had a really negative view of Christianity and of pastors. And so now I thought, okay, so this is a cause. This is something that's pushing him away from the gospel, from accepting and believing there's a God. And so we can't necessarily address that with sort of your typical apologetic answers and reasons, you know. So that's why I say you ask questions, you know, and find out what is the reason or the cause for this person rejecting the gospel. Why is Uncle, what was it, Bob?
No, I just made Bud. A name up.
Why is,
yeah.
What's that?
Everyone's got an Uncle Bob or an Uncle Bud or something.
That's right. So, you know, Francis Schaeffer used to say, if I have an hour with someone, he says, I'll spend the first 55 minutes asking them questions and finding out what is troubling their heart and their mind. And then the last 5 minutes, I'll share something of the truth. And I think often we often feel as Christians like, wow, we had the truth. So if I have an hour with someone, I got to tell them for 55 minutes what's the truth and then see what they say. But Schaeffer inverts that and says, no. First, take the time to ask them questions. Find out what's really going inside deep in their soul so that when you do share something, even if it's for just 5 minutes at the end, that something is exactly what they needed to hear. And so I really hardly agree with Schaeffer's sentiment there that we have to do better at first just taking time to invest in people and asking Uncle Bob, hey, what's going on? Tell me about your life, you know? And so I think that's key to then being able to be better equipped and know where to go once he says no to the gospel. Then you'll know where to go much more accurately than if you hadn't asked all those questions.
Alan, maybe you could coach us a little bit on how to ask questions gracefully and lovingly versus asking questions like district attorney style.
That's right. Yeah, it's true.
Because
yeah,
I think some people feel like, oh, here he comes. He's trying to pick me apart, you know, and they start to get defensive because of all the questions.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely you want to be mindful of not coming across like an FBI interrogator, right? And that's why, you know, when we say the Columbo tactic, if you've seen the TV show Columbo or you watch the rerun, you'll see he comes across completely disarming and gracious and, you know, like almost like a bumbling fool. Not that we want to come across as a fool, but he comes across as very non-threatening. And so that's the way we want to come across as well with our questions. And so the two key questions that we try to encourage people to ask, number one is a what kind of question. And the second kind of question is a why question. So the first what question is, what do you mean by that? So this is just a question asking them simply to have them explain more about their view. Hey, what do you mean by that? Oh, I see. Yeah, define for me this point. Uh-huh. What are you talking about here? Oh, okay, I see. So that tells you what they believe. And then the second question tells you why they believe it. And that key question is, how did you come to that conclusion? You know, so after they've told you what they believe, then you can ask a follow up. Oh, okay. So now, tell me, how did you arrive at that conclusion? Like, what's your thinking that led you to believe that? And again, you know, those are key questions that we want to ask. But as you pointed out, we want to ask them in a gracious tone. And you know, whenever I teach the art of asking questions, I always begin by reminding every believer. I say, look, Scripture says that we're an ambassador for Christ, we represent, right? So that means however we come across to other people will ultimately be a reflection upon the good name of Jesus. And so we have to always ask ourselves, what kind of ambassador am I like? Am I a good and effective and gracious one? Or am I a bad, ineffective, and cold, crass, and harsh one? You know? And so when we have that mentality in our mind that, oh my gosh, we're an ambassador for Christ, we're representing Jesus in this conversation, it helps to hopefully tone down the kind of aggressiveness of our conversation and our questions with the person. So I spend some time usually when I teach emphasizing that whole role that we have as being an ambassador and a representative of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Alan, what might be the hardest question to answer in apologetics? Or what is the one thing that comes up time and time again that you go, oh, here it is, they've asked the toughie?
Well, you know, it's funny that you asked that. I actually wrote a blog post recently called The Hardest Question to Answer. And, you know, because I've spoken to, I don't know, probably 100,000 people now in the last, you know, decade and a half, I have come across all kinds of questions. And the one that I point out is oftentimes the hardest is not the one about Islam or about homosexuality or about the problem of evil. Usually the question goes something like this. They say, why would God do, and then they fill in the blank. Okay. And I say this is the hardest question because what they're really asking me is, what was in God's mind when he decided or allowed X or Y or Z to happen? Now, unless God has revealed that answer or his thinking in Scripture, then really we don't have any knowledge as to what his reasoning is. And so it's always hard to try to discern the mind of God when he hasn't revealed it to us. And so to me, this is always the hardest question. And so I often preface my answer by saying, you know, to be honest, I can't tell you exactly why God did this or why he allowed that because I'm not God and, you know, I can't necessarily speak on his behalf. But if we're willing to speculate a little bit, I can do that and I can tell you some reasons why possibly he might have done that or allowed that.
Yeah. Alan, I need to interrupt just for a second. Now, I beg of you to stay. Can you stay a little bit longer after the break? Are you in a big hurry?
Sure.
Awesome. Then
I can talk to you. Yeah.
Terrific. I do need to take a hard break, and then I'll be back more with Alan Schliemann. We'll continue what we're doing right now in just a few minutes. It is 31 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold having a really nice conversation with Alan Schliemann from Stand to Reason. And I quickly cut him off and then begged him for more time. So I guess that's the hazards of live radio. Right before we went to break, I was asking him about one of the biggest questions that gets asked. And he said it's, why would God? And then fill in the blank. So, Alan, maybe we can pick up where we left off.
Yeah, sure. I mean, as I was saying, the question, why would God, is a question that's asking about the mind of God. And that's why I say it's the hardest question to answer, mm-hmm. because unless God's given us that information, we don't know. So usually I'll say, well, look, I don't know exactly why I can't speak for God, but I can speculate. And, you know, here's some possible explanations as to why God would allow, you know, or do this or that. So that's usually what I found is always the hardest question because, you know, oftentimes it's not even emotionally satisfying to a person because, again, we're just speculating, you know. And so anyways, that was the blog post I wrote about it. Again, it's called The Hardest Question to Answer. If you go to our website, str.org, you can search for a whole bunch of articles that we have available.
Alan, give the website again just a little slower.
Yeah, it's str.org, str.org. STR just stands for Stand to Reason.
Stand to Reason, yeah.
And we have we have literally hundreds and hundreds of articles, podcasts, videos, whatever you want available there to read on all these different subjects.
Mm-hmm. We were talking a little bit ago about when someone's already said no to you, how to go back and sort of revisit the gospel with them. But what about when you have like a family member that this has been an ongoing thing and you've got a whole world of history with them? And so maybe you've come to faith in Christ and you want to share that hope with a sibling or a family member and they know who you are. Then what?
Right, right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that was the comment question.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's a number of things there. I mean, first of all, the good news is because they're a family member, they're more likely that you will have future conversations with them. So don't feel like you have to get, you know, your gospel presentation in that one opportunity and it'll never come again. I mean, again, this is assuming you have a normal relationship with a family member that you'll see often. So that's one thing to consider. Obviously, I believe all of us should be involved actively in prayer for that person, that family member. I think oftentimes we think that it's up to us to change people's minds or to save others. And maybe we don't think that theologically, but inadvertently we act that way. We think, man, if I could just tell them this or that, if I just say the right thing, I can save them. Well, the reality is, unless the Holy Spirit convicts them and brings them to repentance, no one's going to be saved no matter what you do. So I would say, number one, you definitely need to be praying for this person. The second thing I would say is always try to make your relationship with them a high priority. And the reason why I say that is because people say, well, of course, Alan, why would I not make my relationship with them a high priority? Well, sometimes I find Christians who say, well, if they're not going to become a Christian, then I don't really want to, you know, have a close or tight relationship with them, you know, or I just want to, you know, put them off because they're not believing what I believe or they're not accepting what I accept. And I think it's a mistake. I think by emphasizing your relationship with them and showing them that you love them and care for them, they'll know, they'll see your heart. And I think that'll speak very powerfully about your character and your heart there.
That's great wisdom. When it comes to talking about difficult topics like in the church, I think you had written a blog about three things to remember when you're talking about hot potato subjects with other Christians.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I remember that. It's true. I'm trying to remember exactly what they are, but
I love this. no I pressure, mean, Alan.
Well,
it's just something you wrote.
That's okay. That's true. I mean, generally, I would say this. If you're talking to other Christians, well, actually, I would say this with anybody, really. But there's an old maxim that says, in essentials, unity, and non-essentials, graciousness, and in all – oh, no, how does it go? I'm trying to remember how that maxim goes. It's something like that. It's something to the extent of, look, if – in the areas where we need to be unified in Christian doctrine – We need to focus on unity and be unified around that. Now, there's going to be areas that are not essential doctrines, like maybe the means of baptism or something like that, in which case those cases we can give a little bit of grace. Okay. But no matter what we're talking about, we should always have charity involved in our attitude. Oh, I think this is the quote. Actually, I just remembered it now. It's in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity.
That's great.
So that's not something I said or I wrote, but it's something that I borrowed from somebody else. I just can't remember who the author was. But that's what it is. In essentials, unity. So when it comes to the Trinity, to the Bible being the Word of God, you know, the doctrine of salvation, yeah, we got to be unified in that.
Mm-hmm.
In non-essentials, like, you know, baptism or, you know, how we do the Lord's Supper or whatever, okay, yeah, we can give freedom for people to differ on that. But in all things, we should always be charitable, you know, and that goes back to being an ambassador for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always want to be gracious and kind, because even if we're speaking to other Christians, you know, it's not like we're off the hook and we can be rude. No, we absolutely want to be gracious and kind. In fact, just listening to your the advertisements during the break, I heard somebody talking about, you know, God wants us to be all as one, you know, as he is one. And I think that reflects the nature of God and what he wants for us.
I agree. Alan, let me ask you about the, as you travel and speak, and you're in front of a lot of audiences, what is the subject that seems to be rising to the surface more than any other subject right now that you're addressing?
Well, I'd say without question, it would probably be the topic of homosexuality or other gender-related subjects like transgender and other LGBT kind of related issues. That comes up almost every time. Any kind of a Q&A that I have, that's always coming up. You know, how someone's asked, well, how do I, you know, I have a friend who says he identifies as gay, you know, what should I do kind of thing, you know? So that's the one probably I'd say that's really a hot topic, not just because people have friends and family who identify as gay and lesbian, but because of our culture and how it's, you know, since same-sex marriage became legalized a few years ago, the culture has really shifted and become fairly, really hostile towards Christians, especially those, you know, who are, have businesses and have, you know, conscientious objections to using their talents for some sort of same-sex marriage or whatever. So I would say those, all those related topics are the ones that come up perhaps the most.
Mm-hmm. And what are you saying to equip them or encourage them or help them in with their questions on this topic?
Well, yeah. Well, so I usually teach on the subject. So I have a presentation it's called Homosexuality, Truth and Compassion. And as the name suggests, it's got a combination of teaching what does the Bible say about the subject and, you know, in terms of the truth. And then what does science say about the subject as well? So that also entails the truth. But as I point out, knowing the truth is not enough. Yeah, we got to know what scripture and science says, but we also want to know how to communicate that truth in a compassionate way. Because as I was saying, many of us have friends and family who identify as gay and lesbian. And, you know, we don't just want to, you know, beat them over the head with the truth like a club. We want to wield the truth in a gracious and kind way. And so that people can see our heart, that we love them, and we're not trying to just simply, you know, blast them with some sort of a Bible verse. And so in that presentation, I also talk about, you know, various principles that can help to help you to navigate your relationship with your friends and family who identify as gay and lesbian. And I think people find those very practical because they usually say, oh, man, this is great. This is really helpful. And they usually in their feedback, they tell me how by graciously engaging their loved ones who identify as gay and lesbian, that they found greater opportunity for them to have a relationship with them and consequently have a longer opportunity to have an impact in their life.
Yeah, Alan, what's the one thing you wish people knew about apologetics or sharing their faith?
Well, those are two different things. So apologetics, I would say, is really a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
So the end is the gospel. In other words, as an apologist myself, I don't go around telling people who don't know Jesus about apologetics. Rather, I tell them about the gospel. If they don't accept the gospel, then I'll use apologetics as a means to an end to help remove the obstacles out of the way so that a person can come to Jesus. So I probably want people to believe or to know about apologetics that, number one, it's not argumentative. Apologetics isn't inherently mean-spirited or whatever. I mean, Jesus and the Apostle Paul routinely used apologetics in their encounters, right? Anytime you present the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone and they don't accept it, your next interaction with them is going to be an apologetic response, because most likely they're going to say, well, I want to become a Christian because I don't want to, you know, maybe identify as gay, you know. Well, okay, now how are you going to respond to that person? Well, it's going to be an apologetic response. So I would say apologetics is not something that's unbiblical. It's actually very biblical. Jesus used it. And it's not something that's argumentative or mean-spirited. It's just a means to an end. It's a tool that we can use to remove obstacles or barriers that people might have in their coming to Christ. So I'd say, man, that's the one thing I would say is so key to know about that. And I think a lot of people have misunderstandings about apologetics.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I found that a lot of people think that truth doesn't matter. You know, like this new generation, they don't care about truth. They don't care about apologetics. but we host a student apologetics conference at different parts around the country. It's called Rethink Apologetics. And we have, I mean, our Orange County one is coming up. We have 1,800 junior high, high school, and college students coming to a conference about truth and apologetics. So these kids are very hungry for this. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, after I sign off with you, we're going to go into Answered Prayer Friday. So I was wondering, just to get the thing started here, Alan, is there one thing that you're a prayer of yours that have been answered lately that you want to share with our listeners and we can celebrate it?
Yeah, I mean, both my wife and I were praying for our children. So we have two young kids, and I was able to, they have accepted Christ, and just recently we baptized them in the ocean. And so that was just a huge answer to prayer, just to see them profess publicly their faith in Jesus Christ. That was like the greatest thing. And
that's
awesome. And I had the privilege of baptizing both of them. So to me, that was the greatest answered prayer I've had all months.
Yeah.
Alan,
is there also one thing you've been praying for like a long time? And how long have you been praying for this particular thing?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say I have been praying for my father. So my mother has been rather ill for a time, and he's been taking care of her. And so I've been praying to figure out a way to help alleviate some of the burden that my father has to endure with taking care of her. So I'm looking at different options and asking God to help me find some ways to alleviate that burden, either through external help or other kinds of things, or through medical help or whatever. So that's the thing that's really been on my heart for, man, over now a year.
Yeah. Well, I so appreciate you sharing that with our listeners. And thank you for coming on the show and bringing us all this wisdom. And you're just been really, really fun to talk to.
I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you.
You bet. Alan Schliemann has been my guest. You can go to str.org. That stands for standtoreason.org. You can learn more about that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Answered Prayer Friday. So give me a call and do it like right away. 877-933-2484. We'd love to hear how a prayer of yours has been answered, and we'll celebrate it. You can also send me a text at the same number, 877-933-2484, or email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll be right back. It is 13 minutes until the top of the hour, and it is Friday, so the weekend is here pretty soon. About 13 minutes left in the show, and we're going to take Answered Prayer Friday, which means we need to hear from you, and we want to hear a prayer that got answered, that you're all happy about, and you saw God's divine handiwork in your life. Maybe you prayed about something for a week. Maybe you prayed about something for 10 years or 30 years. We want to hear about it, especially if that prayer got answered this week or last week or the week before, and you just want to stand on the mountaintop and shout it out. We want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. We would love to celebrate with you. You can also text me a prayer, an answered prayer, if you can text that quickly. That goes to the same number, 877-933-2484. Or if you're sitting at your computer and you think, you know what, I can email Bill, just bill@myfaithradio.com. Whenever we do this segment, and we've done it a couple times, it is such an encouragement to all of us, all the listeners, because we love hearing God at work in your life. And we love when God answers prayers. And we just want to be encouraging to everyone, because we all have lots on our prayer list, don't we? We're praying for someone's healing or someone's salvation, or it's exciting, and we want to be part of that celebration. Judy just wrote in and said, the Lord is breaking through and bringing victory after an intense spiritual battle. He is so strong and loves us exceedingly much.
Amen, Judy.
Amen, Judy.
That's exciting.
That's awesome.
I don't even need to know the details. I can do a happy dance right now.
Well,
on the inside. I won't put you through that,
yeah,
Bill.
Yeah, thank you.
Not
yeah.
for real. But yes, that's amazing news, Judy. That's wonderful.
And everything's a spiritual battle. I mean, that's
true.
So whatever she went through, and I love the word victory she used, and just that she reaffirms that God is so strong and loves us exceedingly much. Maybe that's the message you needed to hear today before you pull into the driveway or you get home from work, and just know that you are so loved and God has a great plan for your life. And if you're in the middle of some prayer that just isn't getting answered, hang in there. Just keep going to God. Just keep asking. He loves that. Just go back and ask, and that time that you're asking will create that sense of dependence that you're putting everything in His sovereign hands. It's all up to Him. It's not about you. It's about Him and how He's going to move in your life. And that's always an encouragement. I appreciate Judy. And if anyone else wants to call, 877-933-2484. Looks like we've got a caller on the screen, but not ready to go yet. But I loved Alan Schliemann, my last guest. I loved his comment about how he obviously is always praying for his kids and their salvation. And then they got saved and got baptized.
That was so cool.
And his joy was complete.
That was really cool.
All right. Looks like we've got Ole calling in from Duluth. I hope I said that right. Hello, Ole.
Hi, Bill. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I was just going to share a prayer that I'm thankful for all the time that I said a particular prayer 16 years ago. I'll give you the situation was I was really down. I was really down in the dumps one day when I got up, and that was it was a Saturday morning. I was supposed to go to work for a 12-hour day for the ninth straight day in a row. I had been divorced about 4 years prior, and I had three kids, which I saw about half the time or were with me. But I had to elect to not see them for a while because I had this big deal at work, a big sale, and I was in sales. And during that whole 9 days, I made zero money. It was going so bad, and I lost. Are you still there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I had not made a penny in all that time, and I was missing my children so bad. And I thought, I don't even want to go to work today because I'm just going to go get my kids, and I'm the heck with work. So then I thought, I was just so lonely that, God, are you ever going to show me? And so I got down, to introduce me to someone I could share my life with. And I got down on my knees and prayed over my bed, and I asked God, would you please tell me if I'm ever going to have anyone, a woman that I can meet that I can share the rest of my life with. And then I got up from the prayer, and I guess I am going to go to work today. So I went to work, and the first person that I met that day was my wife. I'd never seen her before in my life.
Is that right?
And there she was. I walked up and I introduced myself and I said, hello, my name is Ole Olson. And she laughed and shook my hand. I thought, well, this isn't going very good. And when she quit giggling, she said, Ole Olson? I live on Olson Lake and I have a dog named Ole. And I married her 6 months later. So the power of prayer is very real. And I love that woman. I married her 6 months later, and our 16th anniversary will be at the end of the summer.
Well, I got to tell you, that is absolutely just so, so fun to hear. Not often God answers prayers quite that quickly, but that was that's phenomenal. Yeah. And what's your wife's name?
Janet.
All right. So yeah. Ole and Janet Olson, 16 years of marital bliss. Thank you so much for calling and telling us that story. Absolutely delightful. Ole Olson lives on Olson Lake and has a dog named Ole. I can't do better than that. Have a great weekend, Ole.
All right. Thanks. Keep up the good work.
I appreciate that. All right, that was that story is just too good to be true.
That's like a scene from a movie.
Oh,
basically.
It is.
And he painted the picture so well, and oh my goodness. But isn't that the way, though, that we think, especially when we are at our most desperate, that's when we cry out to God, and hopefully we're developing that relationship throughout our lives where we're leaning on him and learning to be more of a first resort than a last resort. But really, it's in those times of deep despair, God does meet us, and he is willing and able. Like Judy said, he is strong, and he loves us, and he wants to hear from us. He longs to bless us. Sounds like he blessed Ole and Janet.
Yeah, no kidding. We have time for another quick story. If you want to give us a call, 877-933-2484, or if you are in a situation today where you are really at wit's end, and maybe you just need to be prayed for, you can also call 877-933-2484. It's part of what we do in God's families. We support each other. We pray for each other. It's our duty. It gets to be something that we want to do. We're happy to do. We want to take our request to the King and put them all at the foot of the cross and say, Father, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but you do. And that's got to be a great source of comfort. And we should encourage each other with that kind of news.
Well, and I think there's nothing more encouraging. There's a tendency, maybe it's just me, but I feel like I run out of words when somebody's in serious despair or problems. I don't have the answers. And so I feel like I'm a little bit at a loss, but I do know the God who does. And so that's the best thing that I can often do for my friends, the people that I love, is just to bring them before the Lord and say, Lord, please lift them up.
I know. And it does. That's the most powerful thing we can do is to be in prayer and just to be letting people know we are praying for them. You know, that can be lip service for a lot of people. You know, I'll pray for you. Well, I got bigger problems, but, you know, we have the right answer.
All right. And not around here. We take it seriously.
Yeah. I think we have time maybe for one more quick call. Tim is calling in from Vermilion. Hello, Tim. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, I know. I'm a truck driver, and my son was trying to get his finances in line for college for this next year and was having a frustrating time not getting things worked out. So he called me, and we fought and tried, and I said, well, what do we do when we can't figure out things on our own? We pray. And so I start to pray, and he said, Dad, I got it. And the Lord had given him the what he needed to know right then and there before I ever finished my prayer.
Oh, Tim, that's a beautiful thing. Thank you for calling and sharing that. That's fantastic.
Praise God.
Thank you. Praise God. Have a great day. And with time running out, we've got Eric on the line. If you could say something really quick, Eric, we'd love to hear from you.
Sure, yeah. My Eric, and I was just calling in to share what God did for me. I was going, had panic attacks and anxiety, and I really believe that's one of the things God's been learning, teaching me is to trust in him. And I went through a wedding, which God got me in by such kind of a long story, so I'll shorten it, I guess. Yeah, I got in the wedding somehow without them really asking me, kind of secondhand. And here I am, you know, with anxiety. And so night before, you know, I'm on my knees just crying out to God. And I've never seen, you know, anything like that where God didn't really, you know, strengthen me so much as just everything in that wedding worked out to where there was a third usher to hand out flyers. And I got to kind of back off, and he just hid me in the cleft of the rock, so to speak. And
I love it, Eric. Thank you so much for calling. What a great story. Again, a great praise report. And thank you for everyone who called in and texted in. It's always great to hear that encouraging news, how God is answering prayers. And we are all very joyful here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us all week. Thank you for supporting Faith Radio. I just love you like crazy. Have a great weekend, everybody. And I'll see you Monday. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.